Hello, guys. Welcome to the Mission Podcast. We are a spirit-filled, multicultural church led by Pastor Carl Thomas, right in Delray Beach, Florida. To find out more information, just go to themissiondelray.com.
If you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 1. Father, I pray that you would bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen, 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 amen. Nice. Give it up for Camille, y'all. Is anybody experiencing Jesus this morning? You know what? He's alive. That's not just a theological concept. He really is alive. You know, if somebody's alive, they should act different than people who are dead. Right? Yeah? Yeah? If he's alive, he should be different than people who are. It shouldn't just be, I'm not going to go down that road. I will just say this. That cessationism is just another type of Western colonialism. It's birthed out of the Enlightenment movement, which is not an Eastern concept. It's a Western concept. And so if you're not out of the Enlightenment movement, you know, the Enlightenment period, it is to minister to those who came through the Enlightenment. But cultures that didn't go through the Enlightenment, it doesn't register. So that's just my little theological take for this morning. All right, Luke chapter 1. If that made sense to anybody other than me, I hope not. Maybe I'll write a book on that at some point. Probably not. Luke 1, verse 5. You with me here? Do I just need to sing the rest of the time and just, you know? She said, she has never heard me sing. Glory, thank you. Bless Lord, O Lord, for the gift of encouragement she's flowing in at this moment. You ready? Luke chapter 1. We have a new series we're starting, which I've completely butchered at this point. It's Emmanuel, but that's a scripture there. All right, Luke 1, 5, ready? In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of him. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Interesting prophetic word, huh? She was barren. And both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink." Isn't that interesting? And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. That's what I pray over my children. Amen. Even from his mother's womb. And I've completely lost where I was. Okay, here we go. Verse 16. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. That's a good word. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news," verse 20, "and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went home. We're going to skip ahead now to verse 59. The story then talks about Jesus, but we're going to skip ahead to 59 to finish up this story here. He says, and on the eighth day, they came to, 59. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted to be called. And he said, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke blessings. He spoke, blessing God. Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would open revelation. You would bring us into that new thing you have for each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, 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 and amen, and amen. The Lord told me this morning to talk to you about this very story. I had something else planned, but he told me very clearly he wanted me to talk about John and his birth this morning, in the pregnancy. You see, you have to understand a little bit of background to understand this story with most things in the Bible. Now, Zechariah was a priest. Now, it wasn't like today that we can all just go into the presence of God. At that day, the presence of God was in the Holy of Holies. And one priest would be selected to go into that place to burn incense. You with me, right? And the Bible says that the lot fell upon him, Zechariah, right? Now, he went in, and according to rabbinical custom, tradition, it's not actually in Scripture, what they said was, if you went in unclean, unholy, with sin in your life, when you went in there, you would die. And so what they would do was they would tie a rope around your ankle. And if you died in the Holy of Holies, they would just drag you out by the rope. Now, you know, that's how many know, I bet some folks was praying and fasting the night before they went to work. Amen. I wish today, I don't wish God kill anybody. Don't leap there. I wish today that in order to be called a spirit-filled church, the apostles and prophets had to come and testify that you were a spirit-filled church. I pray that, I wish that there was like, in order to be called a charismatic church or spirit-filled or Pentecostal, the apostles and prophets would have to come by and verify that you are what you say you are. I wish that there was an apostolic council that would have to sign off on people before they could call themselves an apostle or a prophet. The church today is lacking in any kind of fruit checking. We need the USDA to come down and give a stamp on some folk, because I've seen people and like they invent bigger names for themselves all the time. I mean, like at one point prophet was a big deal, but now we have apostolic prophets. Like, what is there another kind? We got the master prophet. Am I the slave? I don't understand. If you're the master, who's the slave? I've heard of the bondservant. I hadn't heard of the master. Should I call you Massa? I mean, what exactly? I don't get exactly what. Can I get a word there, Pastor Massa? Can I get a word from you? I'm going to be over here in the fields. Not worthy to go in the house, Massa. The whole connotation of it, the strata of minister to people is just. I'm pretty sure that's what Jesus came to break, right? Didn't he come to break that strata? I thought he came to break that strata, not to create a new one. I wish the people would, say, okay, well, I hear the title you're giving yourself. Can we find it here, please? Just one, please. You're a pastor. Okay, let's look at the fruit. Are people more Christ-like who you shepherd, or can we look at the track record? I'm sorry. But in those days, there was one test. And if you failed it, you die. We have prophets. If your prophecy is wrong, we stone you to death. Yeah. Can you imagine what it's like to get stoned to death? Now, somebody's minds just went in a whole nother direction on that one right there. Stay with me here. Stay with me. Could you imagine? You know what it is to be stoned? Follow me now. They throw rocks at you until you die. That's brutal. Anybody been hit by a rock? It hurts. But I didn't almost die. How many rocks you got to get thrown at you until you die? Like, why can't, you know what I'm saying? And God is just like, okay, if you have sin, I just kill you because I can't have sin in my presence. Now, if you don't got the Holy Ghost, now they didn't have the Holy Spirit. How do you work out your sin without the sacrifice of Jesus and the Holy Ghost? You better just work it out. So this guy goes into the Holy of Holies to minister. And if you notice, if you look at he and his wife, they were barren, much like another couple who brought forth a deliverer. Like, remember, Abraham was they were barren. And the promise came forth late in life. So we have a type and a shadow here. And he's here in the Holy of Holies, and he's in there alone. Now, I want you to picture this. You're fasting, knowing it's your time is coming up. You don't want to die, right, because you like being alive. And you have to go into the Holy of Holies, and then there's an angel there. And it says he got scared. Makes sense now. The angel, oh, you've come to kill me, I take it. Could you imagine? If you see anything happening in there, you'll die. An angel shows up. Oh, boy. Do you keep working? Do you act like you don't see it? You know, like, I don't see you. I'm lighting the candle. I'm leaving now. You know what I mean? Like, if I don't see, if I don't recognize them, like, you know, like you see somebody in the mall you don't like, you just, oh, look, shoes, you know? Right? You're like, oh, look. Very important that I tie right. Very important text message. But the angel, you know what I'm saying? But the angel is there. And the angel says, look, don't be worried. I'm here. Your prayers have been answered. That tells me that even though they were late in age, they never stopped praying for a child. And the angel says, your prayers have been answered. And immediately, he's in doubt, and he's like, wait a minute, what? You got to prove to me that this is true. And what's the angel do? Let's look at it. Y'all are just going to let me talk by myself up here. Hold on. Check this out. He says, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you good news, right? Verse 20, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place. You will be silent. Listen, God is serious about his plan coming into the world through you. He's very serious about it. And he's very serious when he says that I've given you the power of life and death in your tongue. This man was at a place in his walk that God was so serious about the plans he had through him, he would not even let this man get in the way of his own destiny. I will keep you from messing up your own destiny. Here's people who, the Bible says that they had really given themselves to God. They had set themselves apart. They were people of prayer. And the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning, and this is my whole message right here. The Lord wanted me to tell you this morning, there's people in this house that he's now moving through your life, and you're going through difficult times, and doors are not opening, and you're not coming into what you felt like you were supposed to come in, because the Lord has literally preserved you for the call in your life. John the Baptist needed to be born at a certain time. Now, Mary was young. She was a teenager. Now, if Elizabeth would have had this child too early, what would have happened? If the baby came too early, right when they were praying for a baby, would have been the wrong age. But the Lord says, oh, I know it's been hard. I know there's been shame upon your family. I know that people have looked down on you because you've been unable to bear fruit, but I have a plan. It's not because you did something that was wrong. It's not because the enemy has stolen it. It's not because my plans won't come to pass. It's not because I've lied to you. It's not because of what you have done. It wasn't time. And by the natural, she was unable to bear a child at that age. But the angel said, hey, guess what? I am the God of the impossible. You know that doesn't even make sense. I'm the God of the impossible. We say it, but impossible means it's not possible. So I'm going to do things that aren't possible to be done. He's like, well, if they're not possible, how can you do them? Because they're not actually possible. Exactly. So you're at a place right now those of you who've actually consecrated yourselves and sought God and are actually seeking the will of God in your life. And you're like, why have I come to a dead end? It may just be a yellow light. Not yet. You know, God is he's the God of three generations, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the fast food God. So many times we have people come and they get saved, they get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they're ready to preach like 2 weeks later. They're like, can I preach this week? No, actually. No, you can't. Can I preach this week? Absolutely, in Walmart. It's all yours right there. Build that congregation big enough, and then I'll let you know, preach in here. Who knows? Well, we were like, what, instant fruit. But, you know, children, you can't raise great kids overnight. And raising good kids isn't one decision or two disciplines or three trips to the school. It's a long obedience. And true fruit in Jesus Christ is a long obedience. And sometimes you sow a long time and before you see any fruit at all. Some people get saved and instantly their lives are blessed, and you'll be like, what's going on, God? Everybody you know's got better furniture than you. You're like, I don't understand why they have the flat screen and I'm stuck with the 19-inch square box. I don't get it, Jesus. I've been sowing faithfully. I've been tithing. I've been, you know, there's a work that God does that's so deep that you don't want the fruit of it too soon. I mean, when you take your wife out for an anniversary meal, I mean, when you first start dating, Burger King's good. You don't invest too much there early on. Where you want to go? How about we go for a bagel? You know, you don't want to invest too, you don't want to be committed for too long a date there. You know, things don't go well. You're like, no cream cheese, please. Just cut it and put it in a bag. That'll be fine. Coffee's not ready. I don't even like coffee. I just go in these orange juices right here. I'm ready to go. But we're about to have our 12th anniversary. A bagel ain't gonna work. A bagel ain't gonna work. You know, my wife's gonna want something to eat that they started like thinking about earlier in the day. They started preparing, you know, like a steak that has been whatever it's been doing, curing for a while, or a lobster that's, you know, they got to pull it out of some cold water and kill it while we're still there. You know, there's a process to it. Lobster's good? Make a note of that. You hear what I'm saying? We want a little bit more fruit in this thing. We want a little bit longer work happening here. You hear what I'm talking about? We're not talking about a fast food meal now. We want something that, you know, when we look back, hey, what did we do on our 12th anniversary? I ate something. I don't know. Probably had a meal and, I don't know, movie. I mean, your first date, we went, you know, to Taco Bell and then we went to the whatever. Okay, because then what did you do on your third date? I don't know. Ate something. But you don't look back. What did we do on our first anniversary? I remember because it was special. And I thought about what I'm going to do and I planned it ahead of time and we did a whatever. And that's like when couples at this house get married and the first birthday is always a surprise party. I'm like, good Lord, can we not have another surprise party? It's played out. If you get married and it's your spouse's first birthday, don't throw a surprise party. We're telling them. From now on, we're just telling them. I've been to enough surprise parties. Okay, it's your first. I get it, but do I have to spend 4 hours waiting for your husband to come home? Can I just? I get it. Surprise! Okay, can we have the cake now? You know, I know you want to make it special. It's the first one. We're spoiling them from now on. You have a surprise party, we're doing a Facebook invite, and they're going to be the first person we're inviting to the surprise party, okay? Do something special, don't include us, all right? Just, was that wrong, honey? That was wrong? I'm sorry, forget that. I didn't say any of that. I heard Mike was getting a surprise party. I was like, good Lord. You got to add this in premarital counseling. Okay, and on your first year, no surprise party. But you want it to be special. on my 40th birthday, we had a big party. Woohoo! I had fun. I mean, I remember that. It was my 40th birthday. It was a big 39. I don't even know what we did. I'm sure we had chicken parmesan, because that's my meal. But on my 40th birthday, it was a big party. Invited everybody. Got a really nice gift from the people of the house. And, you know, because it was a big deal. And we want to really celebrate it. Right? You feeling me now, right? You remember? It's a big deal. But this day and age, it's like we just want to, we want this fast food to hurry up and, you know, I want to, right now. It's like, oh, I want a big party like Pastor had in his 40th birthday. Well, you're 23, and let's just probably going to wait a little bit. It's probably going to be a second. Oh, honey, look at that big party they had for their anniversary. Let's do that. It's been 25 years for them, honey. Let's say 25, you can get that. Right now, you get Red Lobster. That's where we're going. Red Lobster is good for some. Come on now. Get some lobster. Come on. And there was an age where you had to like wait years to get good furniture and nice electronics and a nice house. And nowadays, people just rent an apartment and spend a lot of money on stuff to put in the place they don't even own. Because we want what other people who've sown a long time, what they have, we want it now. Right now. I want it right now. And all you have is an illusion. It's an illusion of prosperity. It's not real prosperity. It's an illusion. It's not real prosperity. Real prosperity takes time. Anointing is awesome. I love anointing. I love it. But I respect character. I respect character. I'll have anybody with anointing pray for me. I only receive counsel from people who have character. Will you walk out the hard things? Will you go to a job you don't like day after day after day after day? Because that's what men do. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, you did it for a week. That's wonderful. Stretch that into 5 years. Come back and talk to me. Are you with me here? Will you be faithful to God in the decisions you don't like for a long time? When your name comes up and they say, okay, you're going to go in the Holy of Holies and you may die. Okay, well, all right, here I go. Or do you run? Okay, we're tying the rope to your ankle now because you might die doing this. Wow. What do you do? What do you do? And it's easy. Oh, I want to see the glory and all that. I mean, there's people who, you know, God is not your boyfriend that you pout and punish because you didn't get what you wanted right when you wanted it. And I see people in the relationship with Jesus, and it's like they're in middle school. And, oh, I didn't get what I wanted, and so now I'm going to go flirt with other gods to punish him. Oh, I'll show you. I'll go be wicked. Oh, you'll show God, yeah. I'm going to go off and sin now. You don't even bother me, God, that I didn't get what I wanted. You know you're going to hell, right? You understand that. In the end, I don't think it's going to work out the way you wanted it to work out. But we want it right now, like right absolutely now. I got a little anointing. I'm ready. Like, really? Wow. I was meeting with the pastor of Victory Church in Boca. Anybody familiar with that church? Pastor Don, just a great man of God. Love him. He's friends of my wife. He and his wife are great friends of this house, friends of my wife and mine. And I said to him, I said, Pastor, you've seen a lot of churches come and go in Boca Raton. He's like, well, not a lot. And he's like, well, there was this one and that 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 one. I was like, yeah, what? That's a lot to me. You know, that's a lot of, you know, what's the common thread here? That's what I asked him, right? We were sitting at dinner at Las Fajitas. You know, here's a man who's been walking with Jesus for a while. We have a successful ministry. What is the common thread here? And we're just talking about spirit-filled churches in Boca. Spirit-filled churches in Boca that he's seen come and go. I was like, what is it? What, you know, let me know where are the potholes for me to avoid? He says, you know what I think it is? I think men just get tired. They get tired, and they drift off the path, and then they just give up. Wow. A long obedience. There is something about a long obedience. When I meet men, and this is just my, maybe this is just my value system, maybe. But when I meet men who are middle-aged and they've raised their families and they've provided for their kids and their kids are messed up, but they still love their kids and they still work, and they still take care of them, and they're still with their wife, and they still pay the bills. I'm like, oh, my dad, he's not living for Jesus like he should. I'm like, that man, he might be. He might be more than you think. He might be more than you think. Yeah, okay, he's not leading an evangelistic outreach in Publix like you, but I see character there, and God can work with character. God can work with men without idols. God can do something in that. There's a lot of folks who go out there preaching to because it's their idol. Their own fame is an idol. And what does all this have to do with what we're talking about? I don't know, but this is good stuff. Amen. No, I know where I'm going with this. So we want it right away. And so here's this couple, and they said, look, your prayers have been heard. And they've been faithful to God a long time. I've seen people walk away from God because they couldn't give up smoking. I'm like, that's a stupid reason to go to hell. That's a dumb reason to go. I mean, I'd rather go to, if you can't give up smoking, I mean, you know, just go to hell smelling like, I mean, go to heaven smelling like a cigarette. You know, just don't stop serving Jesus. If you smoke, just stop. But I don't think your addiction to nicotine is going to send you to hell. That's my theology. If you believe differently, then, you know, that's okay. But don't put it on other people, all right? Just let that be for you. Is this okay? Okay. But I see people just give up being faithful to God for really stupid reasons. And most of the time, it's their own sin that God was unable to bless their hand. But here we see people who've lived for God, and they never gave up, and they just kept just trudging along, just working it out, just keep marching in the same direction, not looking for another God, not looking for the easy payoff, not playing lotto, not, you know, just really just focusing on God, their deliverer, being faithful in the temple. The Bible says that there was a shame upon their family because they didn't have children, yet and still he went in the Holy Holies. There was a disgrace that they suffered because they didn't have, yet they still went in the Holy of Holies. If this is my fate, I'm going to do what I was called to do. Does this make sense? And I feel like there's people in this house that God wants to bless who haven't understood that God has not forsaken you. It's just, you just haven't come into your season yet. You haven't come into the harvest yet. It's not sin. It's you know, when you work out, anybody here ever work out? I have memories of working out. You know, and when you work out with weights, it you got to work out till you fail. If you don't fail, your muscles have no reason to grow. Yes? Anybody work out? You know what I'm talking about? You weight train and it's, you know, okay, that's easy. You don't just stay on 5 pounds. Why do you want more weight? Because you want your muscles to say, uh-oh, I don't have enough strength for this. I better grow more muscle. Right? And it's not till you fail, oh boy, and your muscle's like, uh-oh, we need to build more muscle. Right? And so there's a lot of people that lift with 5 pounds for a long time and wonder why they're not getting bigger spiritually. And for me, I don't want God to reward me for 5 pounds of benching spiritually. I don't want to be like, okay, God, I'm done with the workout session. Just bless me now. He's like, okay, here's your little muscle for the little amount that you want to lift. There you go. Oh, it's so hard for you, isn't it? Run along now and play. I feel like when the blessing doesn't come, like delayed blessings, and I have them in my life, I feel like the delayed blessings is God saying, well, not yet, because got a little bit more because I got this muscle for you. And I need you, and because you already have, you know, 18 pounds of muscle. I want to give you 32 pounds of muscle, but you got to exhaust all the muscle I've already given you. Does this make sense? And so we're like, how come you haven't blessed me yet? No, you haven't failed yet. You don't understand. You haven't failed yet. You haven't come to failure yet. You ever been to the place where you're like, Lord, I cannot stretch anymore? You ever been there? You ever like, God, you have stretched me so far. If you stretch me any farther, I am absolutely going to snap. Have you ever prayed that? I remember I was in a specific season of my life, and I prayed that, and that season went on for another 18 months. I mean, I was at the edge of my bed crying, not in the glory. I mean, I was like, God, I am done. I remember being in my car on the side of the road crying, Lord, I can't do this anymore. And he's like, yeah. You have no idea what you have no idea how far you are able to stretch. Oh, it's getting difficult. God, deliver me. Oh, I didn't even know it started yet. Anybody, am I encouraging anybody? The Lord spoke to me during worship. He told me, this is kind of weird. If you don't believe in this stuff, just wait till I say now, okay? And just ignore everything I say till then. I was on the ground, and the Lord gave me a vision. And in the vision, I saw some stairs, right? And they immediately began, this is really weird. I don't know why anybody would build stairs like this, but they started going down. And it was kind of like a castle where they had like the cement walls, you know, the rock walls, and everything was rock. I'm sure it's not called rock, but whatever it is, it's like that, stone. And it started going down, and I didn't want to go down because hell's down, and I don't like going down. But I just knew I was supposed to go. So I started going down, and then immediately they started going up. And on one of the stairs said Jeremiah 12. And I don't know why he didn't just say Jeremiah 12, but that's what I saw. And so I went to Jeremiah 12, and the Lord brought me to verse 5. And Jeremiah 12, verse 5 says, this is the Lord talking to Jeremiah. He says, if you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers in the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. They are in full crying after you. Do not believe them, though they speak friendly words to you. Here's how I really believe God was speaking. This first part of verse 5, he says, if you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? There's people in this house that are called to run and race horses. You're called to, you know how fast a horse runs? And the Lord is like, look, you're getting tired out just racing the people around you, but I've called you to race horses. And I need you to stay in training because it's in the training you're going to get faster. And if you try to get the payoff too soon, you'll think you're fast because you're beating kids in middle school. You're running with amateurs who don't even know how to run, and you're excited because you're sprinting ahead of them. But I've called you to race horses. And you know, it takes a little bit of training to race a horse. Not that I would know. But I have to assume that if you're going to race a horse, it's going to take a minute to grow some, you know, physical stamina here. And there's people in this house that the Lord is like, look, there's a long faithfulness I'm trying to grow in your life. Don't run after everything that glitters. Don't try to cash out your chips right now. Stay in the game. Stay in the game. Does this make sense? God took me to some really familiar scriptures. Isaiah 41, he says, verse 10, he says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Some of you need to just write that scripture down. Go home and memorize it. You need to wake up and look in the mirror as if it's God talking to you and say, look, I know things are hard, but the Lord says to you, fear not, for I am with you. And you need to just be walking down the street because you ain't got no car yet, all upset because the Lord ain't brought a car yet, and say, I know that I will not be dismayed. I will not be dismayed, for the Lord is my God. I mean, you need to just get it in your spirit, man. He will strengthen me. He will help me. He will uphold me with his righteous right hand. Things don't work out. And you say, man, God, I would break down, but I know that you will strengthen me. You will uphold me with your righteous right hand. You, I mean, you're in circumstances. circumstances and your kids are acting wild and you don't got money to pay the bills and Christmas is coming and the rent is coming due and you don't got that thing that you thought was going to happen and it's all coming together because January 1st is coming around and you got to buy this and that. You say, oh, no, I know that the Lord is my God. And he will strengthen me with his righteous right hand. Can you say amen? I'm here to encourage you this morning. I'm not here to let you know that the struggle is about to end. I'm here to let you know that the Lord is with you in the time of barrenness. That the Lord is with you. He has not forsaken you. He has not left you to rot on the vine. But there is a great fruit coming in your life. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of good and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. Fear not, come on, for he is with you. Be not dismayed, for he is your God. He will strengthen you and help you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. Come on. Come on. Who believes that? Who believes that? I had a really cool teaching this morning, but the Lord said, I need to talk to you because the Lord is going to come through in your situation, but it may not be in your timing. Yes, the ministry will happen, but it may not be right now. You do not want your ministry to be planted in the rocky ground, and all of a sudden it springs up and burns out and dies. That is not what you want. You want to wait for the faithful ground, the fertile, you don't want to be in fertile. You want to be in fertile ground. Fertile is not good. I want to pray for you. This is just a prophetic word I have for the house. It's not a teaching. Get it by the Spirit. Amen. I want to pray for you though. Anybody get anything out of this? Is good? Be encouraged today. God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. If you got sin in your life, stop it. I don't know how else to explain that. Just stop it. You're wrecking your own future. You know when you live in sin, you're cashing out your blessings right now. That's it. You're just cashing it out right now. You're like, oh, you know, in 2020, this would pay $4 million, but I'll take $15 right now. You might want to wait on that. You might just want to. You know, the pleasures of heaven are going to beat anything that you're doing right now. You believe that? The pleasures of heaven will just so far exceed any earthly pleasure you would give up your inheritance for right now. Amen. Praise God, preacher. That's a good word. Camille, can you play for us a little bit here? Thank you, Jesus. Can you play for us a little bit? Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you. And I just feel like the Spirit of the Lord is going to be here to minister. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, in the name of Jesus. Whoa, there we go. Hallelujah. If you could take down the house lights. The party tonight, you don't want to miss that. Come on now. You don't want to miss that. Some of you, this is like a righteous stand. Look, if you're like, I don't know a lot of people in this church, you'll meet some at the party. Like, I ain't got money for that. We could probably work it out somehow. Just talk to my wife. But I want to go sin tonight. Don't. Just come on to the party. This could be a good start right here. Amen? Holy Spirit, right now, I speak healing over disappointment. Father, I pray that we'd be like Paul who said, look, wise master builder. Lord, we don't want to be one of those houses that get thrown together in 2 weeks. I don't want a prefab. Lord, I want a big old custom spec house. Lord, I want to be able to pick out the knobs on the cabinets. I want to take my time and build this thing that will last. The Lord shows me that in this house, he's building. This is what he showed me. You know, there was a time that people built houses that got passed down to generations. You know, a husband goes to prepare a home for his bride. A man goes to prepare a home for his bride. And I feel like the Lord is building homes right here in their families. And he's building multi-generational houses. You're like, I want the payoff right now. He's like, no, this is going to take a little time. It took me three generations with Isaac. It took me three generations till I could get Jacob, get what I wanted. He's like, it's just going to take me a little bit of time to work this through you, but it's going to stand. I got a word Friday night, and I'm going to pray this over you, and then we're going to pray together, and then I'm going to dismiss you. The Lord has shown me throughout time that he doesn't call people, he calls families. He's a God of families. He's a God of family. And there's some of you, you're the only person in your family who's living right. And you can be like very frustrated that you're not seeing more fruit in your family. You're like, why aren't they serving the Lord? And here's what the Lord showed me. You're looking at it wrong. That he called the family before you got saved. You're the first fruit. That's just the first fruit. That's just the first little fruit that's on the tree. The big fruit comes later. Pray for your families right now. Pray for yourself. Pray for the house that God is building in you. If you have a family member in the house, just get together. Let's just pray. Pray for the families that we built up. Long-term fruit. Big and strong. Get together, families. Let's pray. I mean, seriously, there's a grace on this right now. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare long-term fruit over these families. Strong, big houses. We thank you for the fruit that's coming after us, Lord. We thank you for the revival in our family. Just speak your family before the Lord. If you're single, guess what? You're a family. Come on. Speak it to the Lord. My family, I am the first. You know, before I got married, the sum total of the people in my family who were on fire for Jesus was one. I got married and it doubled. Come on. Come on, doubling's good. Come on, just pray it. Father, and now we got four. They may not know it, but they are. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we'll submit to your plan. We're not in a rush. We want it now, according to your timetable, Lord. We thank you for righteousness, holiness, but Father, we ask you for character, longevity, faithfulness. My son's eating a bagel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I pray this holiday season that we would touch our families with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, this would be a season of harvest. Father, that you would give gifts this holiday season, the gift of salvation. Period. You would give that gift, Lord, this holiday season. We love you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, if you need healing in your body, want to walk.
Hello, this is Carl Thomas, lead pastor of the Mission Delray in Delray Beach, Florida. If you've been blessed by this or any of our podcasts, would you consider making a donation online at themissiondelray.com? Also, if you find yourself in the South Florida area, we'd love to have you at one of our Sunday morning services. More information can be found online at themissiondelray.com.